The longtime leader of the National Transportation Safety Board is stepping down at the end of the month. Chairman Debbie Hirschman says it's been a great ride. Under her leadership, the board has challenged the transportation industry and other government agencies in the name of passenger safety. Now Hirschman is moving on to what she calls a second dream job as the head of a safety advocacy group. She joins us now. Debbie, good morning.
Good morning.
So, you know, as we speak, you are at the NTSB in the middle of what is got to be one of the most complicated investigations yet, and that's of the Malaysian airliner. What, in your experience, has been the toughest investigation?
Well, certainly every investigation is tough, and I think every investigation is a tragedy, whether there are three people killed or 300. There are families, you know, who somebody's not going to be coming home again. And so it is really hard every time you go and do an accident investigation. I'd say the Malaysian investigation is certainly complicated and complex. There's a lot of issues and a lot of countries involved, but we are supporting the Malaysians who are leading this investigation, and we have folks in Australia and Malaysia right now.
And I wanted to ask you about American technology with respect to these investigations. You said you're supporting, you know, the NTSB is supporting the Malaysian investigation, but you must take some pride in the fact that basically these big international investigations really can't conclude without American know-how and technology.
Well, I would say that, you know, almost any investigation nowadays when it's involving aviation is international in nature. There are very few accidents that we investigate that don't involve our foreign partners. And so when it really, it is, you know, an industry that knows no boundaries. We have accidents here in the U.S., some of the most recent ones that you all remember, the Colgan crash where 49 were killed in Buffalo, New York, but that was the last fatal accident that occurred in 2009. That was a Bombardier aircraft manufactured in Canada. The Miracle on the Hudson, that was an Airbus aircraft manufactured in France. And just last summer, we had the most recent fatal crash that involved Asiana Airlines. And again, that's a foreign operator, although it was a Boeing aircraft. So really, aviation is very international, and there are so many accidents that occur around the world that the U.S. is involved in because of our international relationships and the treaties that we have. If there is a U.S. operator or a U.S. designed or manufactured part or aircraft, we do have the ability to go and participate in that investigation.
What do you remember about your first accident investigation?
You know, my training accident was out in Jefferson City, Missouri. It was a regional jet that crashed on a repositioning flight, so there weren't any passengers on board, but the two pilots were killed. And, you know, I think sometimes scientists have talked about how strong the sense of smell is and how it really is connected with our memories. I think that crash occurred in a neighborhood, and it was between two houses. And I just remember seeing the wreckage and the devastation and smelling the smell of jet fuel. And I will probably never smell the smell of jet fuel and not think about accident scenes where I've been, where it's you know, things have not turned out well. And so I think that's probably a very strong memory that I have of my first accident. But whenever I smell that smell at any accident, I think I won't forget it.
Of course, spurred you to earn your reputation for being willing to back safety measures, sometimes that are not all that popular with industry. What's your biggest challenge in that regard so far?
Well, you know, I'd say with industry, often the challenge is money. And so we recommend things that sometimes will cost money to implement, whether it's inerting a fuel tank or implementing positive train control. These recommendations require investment. They require changes to equipment. They may require retraining or retooling, and so they are expensive. But in the end of the day, 80% of the recommendations that we issue end up getting adopted or accepted in a favorable way. And so I think many times people come around to it's time, the technology is ripe, it's time to make the changes, or we've had enough accidents that people say we're not going to do this anymore. The hardest thing, I think, is really changing human behavior. And it's, you know, I think the money comes, but human behavior is a little bit more challenging. And so it's 10,000 fatalities every year on our nation's highways due to impaired driving crashes. And Distracted driving has been a big challenge, certainly for us, and it continues to be a growing challenge with more devices being brought in to the car that are portable and also technology that's in the cars that can be distracting. So it is sometimes changing behavior that can be the hardest thing and changing societal norms.
So you were first confirmed as the chairman back in 2004. Over the past 10 years, what would you say has been the safety regulation that you are most proud of that you think has really contributed to everyday safety?
Oh, wow. Well, I started in the board in 2004 as a board member, and then in 2009, I became the chairman. And I think there are an awful lot of things that have happened as far as regulations or state laws, even laws passed at the federal level that have made a big difference. But I will say one that was really long time in coming, that was hard fought, was getting changes to pilot flight and duty time with respect to fatigue. And we did see that happen during my tenure as chairman, and I was very pleased to see that come about. But we've also seen changes with respect to work rules for truck drivers and for locomotive engineers. So I think we all recognize, and I know you guys start work early, we all operate in an environment where a lot's expected, and we don't always get the sleep that we need. But for our transportation operators, the people who are transporting others, the need to do it safely is making sure that they have the time that they need to get their rest, and that's really important.
I wanted to ask you about a technology possibility that has come out of the Malaysian incident, and that's that we've learned that airplanes tell a lot, or potentially tell a lot about themselves, this engine management data that was not turned on for this particular flight. Has the NTSB been looking at the possibility of that information being downloaded, regardless of whether the airline is subscribing to the service from the engine manufacturer? Because it's an enormous amount of data, and there's probably not enough bandwidth on a plane to be able to download it all. So is the NTSB looking at that? Is that the next kind of frontier in airline safety?
Well, absolutely. We've seen the benefits of this in many investigations, and it can be streaming data. It can be streaming video. We've seen that in test flight accidents. We've been able to actually see video from inside the cockpit because it was streamed before the crash. But, I think technology, really, the opportunities are endless. When we look at water recoveries, like what we've seen here in Malaysia, we've had it with TWA-800, Alaska Airlines 261, and Air France 447, they can be very, very costly. And so absolutely, we have been talking for many years with our international counterparts about streaming data, so that those cockpit voice recorders and flight data recorders don't have to be retrieved. You are right. One of the biggest issues is the amount of information that can be sent, because we're not talking about 5 or 10 parameters that might be recorded. We're talking about thousands, and we're talking about constant recording and how you get that down to a ground site, or how it's stored, or how long it's stored. And so all of those things are challenges, but I am confident in the coming years that we are going to be able to solve those. We have the technology, like the $6 million man. We just need to figure out how to do it.
We're speaking with Debbie Hirschman. She is chairman of the National Transportation Safety Board. So you've mentioned money and funding as a barrier a couple of different times, and it's probably in every sort of facet of transportation. Can the government do anything to make these important safety upgrades more affordable or more appealing to the industries involved?
Well, I will give the government credit. Many times they are sponsoring the research that actually results in affordable technology. And so I mentioned fuel tank inerting earlier. The industry said it was too expensive and it couldn't be done. And it was actually work that was done at the FAA Tech Center, their technology center up in Atlantic City, New Jersey, 15 years ago, that actually helped to demonstrate that there was a technology that could be done within a reasonable price point that was much less than what the manufacturers had recommended. Again, NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, and the Congress have been funding a program to look at driver alcohol detection systems to be able to make sure that drivers, if they are drunk, if they're impaired, that they can't start their vehicle. And that is, that kind of technology can really help a lot of us. We've seen mid-air collisions. We've seen collisions into the ground with enhanced ground proximity warning systems. Technology really has the capability to eliminate entire classes of accidents. We just need to figure out how to one, do the research, and then two, how to get the society or industry to embrace it.
So you are going on to the National Safety Council. Tell us a little bit about that and what you hope to accomplish there.
Well, I have to say I've been so, so lucky in my entire career. I have worked in Washington for 22 years, and I have loved every day of it. I still get a thrill when I drive across the 14th Street Bridge and I see the memorials and think I get to work here and get to do important things for the taxpayers of the country. And I've been proud of the people that I've worked with, but, you know, for all good things must come to an end. And as a political appointee, I've been at the NTSB for 10 years, and it's really been a great ride. And I'm thankful for all the opportunities that I've been given, certainly by this administration and by people I've worked with in the past. And so I'm going to be heading to Chicago and going to work for the National Safety Council. And they are a nonprofit organization that their mission is about making our world safer. And it's about preventing unintended deaths and injuries. And for me, I can't think of a better place to get to go to. And so I'm really excited about it. I get to continue to work on some transportation safety issues, but I also get to move into other areas like workplace safety and prescription drug overdose. And there's a lot of work that can be done to help people be safer. So I look forward to doing that.
But I hear in your voice that you're going to miss the board. That's obvious. What advice do you have for the person who comes and takes your place?
You know, I don't know that I have any advice to offer that the person who's coming in won't already understand themselves. Embrace the mission and embrace the people, and it'll all be great.
Debbie Hirschman is the chairman of the National Transportation Safety Board. Debbie, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. It was great to talk to you.
And good luck to you.